From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 25th day of October, 2022. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Today, we'll celebrate Wayne Nelson's Award of Merit from the College of Aces. In Chicago, it was a turnaround Tuesday with corn up about 4¾ cents at the end of the day at 686 at a quarter. The March at 692 at a quarter, 4½ higher. In May, up 4¾ at 692. November being at 1382, a dime higher for the day. The January at 1392 and a quarter, up 11. Bean meal futures up 690. The bean oil 41 cents higher, and soft red winter wheat down 4 cents at $8.34.5. Today we'll also talk about ethanol. That with Dan O'Brien of Kansas State University Extension. He's an agricultural economist there. We'll take up yesterday's USDA weekly crop progress state reports from Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota, and hear just a little bit about the weather forecast too with Don Day on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're now joined by Wayne Nelson, as usual. He's at agmarket.net, but today he and I are not going to talk about what's happened in the marketplace. We're going to talk about an award that Wayne picked up last night here at the University of Illinois. He is a College of Aces Alumni Association Award of Merit winner. Thank you, Wayne, for being here today. I can't imagine how joyous this must have been last night. I'm sorry I couldn't make it, but it had to be fantastic to be with the alumni friends, the alumni that were there at the Pear Tree here in Champaign last night to accept this award. It had to be a fantastic evening for you.
It was such a thrill, Todd. I never imagined in my wildest dreams that I would be a person getting an award like that, to be associated even with some of the people. I mean, there were some tremendously big names and big achievements there on what went on. But such a fun day yesterday was set up by the university. We got to go around and see what's happening, what's changed. And let me tell you, there's a lot changed since I left the University of Illinois. You know, the programs they have, the talking about the overseas study, everything along the way, and so many good people. And a lot of people from my past that remembered that were there on the alumni board. Actually, I knew, you know, met the or knew the president from over 45 years ago of the alumni board. So a lot of great times, and a big thank you. Todd was one of my sponsors for this, and my other friend Wayne Schweigert, and the work that they put in to help me get this very humbling experience to be accepted into a group like we were accepted into last night.
Now, I will put up on our website at willag.org your acceptance speech, because it is really, really something else. And I want people to be able to watch and see that acceptance speech. So that's up online now at willag.org. But I do want to read through the introduction explaining just exactly why you were nominated and why you were worthy of being an alumnus of merit of the College of Aces. Wayne G. Nelson graduated from the University of Illinois College of Agriculture in 1974 with a Bachelor's of Science. He majored in agricultural economics. If you see Wayne out in an official capacity, he'll be wearing an orange and blue tie. That tie, always tasteful, matches Wayne's understated self. Wayne works tirelessly to make other people better, and in the process has an outsized impact on agriculture. Some of it comes, of course, from those Wayne has mentored. Other things are from the will to succeed he gives to the projects he supports. Those that work with the CME Group will know Wayne and his stellar reputation for education in risk management. More often than not, over his career, Wayne has accurately and with his effort helped to revolutionize risk management and information flow to farmers. He was there, of course, when WILL Radio decided to use the 2 o'clock hour for the farm programming rather than the noon hour. That was nearly 40 years ago, and today, 2 p.m. is the farm hour across the whole of the nation. Wayne was also there when DTN first brought prices to the farm office, and he made sure Illinois and Indiana farmers knew this was the tool to use. He did the same for crop insurance even before the popular products were developed. Wayne is an advocate. Wayne is a friend, of course. Wayne is a mentor. And Wayne G. Nelson is an Illini. Quite the nice couple of paragraphs about you, Wayne. Thank you for being with us today. And thank you for all the service to the campus here of the University of Illinois, a well-deserved Alumnus of Merit Award. It's been fantastic to be associated with you over the years. And I have to make one other note. You are the only person, Wayne, that has been on every panel at all 31 of the all-day agricultural outlooks. And that's includes everybody, the host of the panels, the panelists themselves. You've been to all of them. And I think that in itself is quite the achievement.
Well, it's been a lot of fun. And it's, you know, I'm very prideful about that fact. It's something that started back with Paul Bates, Paul Cooley, Charlie, yourself, everything that way. And it's just something that's really grown or continued to grow along the way. And it's been such a proud honor of mine to sit on that stage with some of the greats of the industry, the Paul Bates, the Paul Cooleys, the Charlie Lindys. I mean, everybody out there is just, you know, just amazing. And I've learned so much from them. I started out as the young kid on the end that really didn't belong there. But those guys taught and helped me. And I had so many good helpers along the way. The instruction of how to talk on radio from Charlie Lindy, the availability to meet all the people we've met over the years, to have the association with the Daryl Goods, Mr. Schnitke, all of those people, all of those have been great opportunities for me. And, you know, I think everybody else has helped me grow as much as I've helped anybody else.
Hey, I do have one question for you. You do have a signature look when you're out. You almost always wear an orange and blue tie. How did that come about?
Well, I decided I live in Indiana now. And, you know, you have to distinguish yourself a little bit from a Purdue person or an IU person. And I didn't want anybody to think just because I was crossing the line from Indiana, coming back in, I'm still an Illini at heart and still believe greatly in the Fighting Illini. It's just the place that I feel pride and where I really got my start of getting to know and the networking and doing wonderful things was the University of Illinois.
Wayne, congratulations.
Well, thank you, Todd, and thank you for all the help that you've given me over the years.
Mm-hmm. Wayne Nelson is with AgMarket.net. He is a College of ACES Alumnus of Merit as of last night. If you'd like to see his acceptance speech and a little bit about a pig, you can do that right now at willag.org. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows as of Sunday that 97% of the corn crop around the nation had matured. The rolling five-year average is also 97%. 61% of the crop has now been harvested. The five-year average is 52%. 80% of the nation's soybeans have been harvested. 67% is the five-year average. 79% of the winter wheat has been planted. 78% is the rolling five-year average, and 49% of that crop has emerged. The five-year average there is 56%. Now, here are updates from Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa.
This is Melissa Bond, Statistical Assistant for the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office with the Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report. Row crop harvest remained ahead of average as Iowa's farmers had 6.7 days suitable for field work during the week ending October 23rd. Field work included harvesting row crops, fall tillage, and applying fall fertilizer. Dry conditions resulted in some field fires being reported during harvest. Subsoil moisture condition rated 28% very short, 44% short, 28% adequate, and 0% surplus. Nearly all of Iowa's corn crop has reached the mature stage or beyond. Harvest of the corn for grain crop reached 59% complete, one day ahead of last year and 8 days ahead of the average. The percent of corn harvested varied by area of the state, with just 38 and 39% harvested in northeast and south central Iowa, respectively, and 82% harvested in northwest Iowa. Moisture content of field corn being harvested for grain was 18%. Soybeans harvested reached 88% complete, 11 days ahead of the average. Pasture condition rated 26% good to excellent. Dry conditions were an issue for cattle. For the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, this is Melissa Bond.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Dry weather continued across Illinois last week, with essentially zero measurable precipitation for the entire state all week long. Temperatures were below normal on average, in spite of a nice warm-up late in the week. The average temperature across the prairie state last week was 49.4 degrees, and that was 3.2 degrees below normal for this time of year. There were 6.9 days suitable for fieldwork across Illinois last week, and topsoil moisture declined slightly to 23% very short, 31% short, and 46% adequate as of Sunday. For corn in Illinois, 93% of acres have matured. That compares to 100% 1 year ago and 98% for the 5 year average. 65% of corn acres have been harvested compared to 76% 1 year ago, and 69% normally. For soybeans, 78% of acres have been harvested, compared to 66% last year and 74% normally. Winter wheat planting reached 67% finished, compared to 65% 1 year ago and 69% normally. 17% of acres have emerged, compared to 41% normally. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Minnesota had 6.5 days suitable for fieldwork, and favorable weather conditions allowed harvest to move quickly. Subsoil moisture supplies rated 15% very short, 36% short, 48% adequate, and 1% surplus. Corn harvested for grain was at 61% complete. That's 3 days behind last year, but about a week ahead of the 5 year average. Corn moisture content of grain at harvest averaged 18%. Soybeans harvested was at 95%, on pace with last year and about 2 weeks ahead of the 5 year average. Sugar beet harvest was 96% complete, that's 2 weeks ahead of the 5 year average. Sunflowers were 35% harvested, about 5 days behind the 5 year average. Pasture condition was rated 7% very poor, 14% poor, 35% fair, 37% good, and 7% excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across their regions. On Tuesdays, we always check the agricultural energies. This week, we'll talk with Daniel O'Brien. He is at Kansas State University, where he's an extension agricultural economist. Hey, thank you, Dan, for being with us again this week. What are the prime things that are on your discussion list for the week?
Well, I think just to keep track of the trends that we're seeing in the bioenergy markets. It's interesting to see, as where I'm at in Kansas, we see ethanol plant prices of about $2.27 for a range of $2.19 to $2.38 for ethanol as of the on Friday. But in your part of the country, Illinois, you're looking at a $2.38 to $2.41 range, $2.39, almost $2.40. So again, closer to demand centers, no doubt. And then we are in Kansas. We have some transportation to get most of the areas where we're at. And in Indiana, right next to you, 242 average. In Iowa, a little bit less. So Illinois is sitting in one of the stronger areas of demand in the country. And you see that also in Minnesota, general price of 233. So that's interesting to see. I would say that we're in an ongoing manner, we're following the profitability of ethanol plants. It's a lot of what you and I do, looking at ethanol and hopefully getting a better picture on what's happening in the biodiesel area. But in terms of ethanol, latest calculations that I have for the month of October so far through basically the first 2.5-3 weeks, you're looking at profitability of about a cost of production of about $2.39 a gallon. average ethanol price of about $2.35, so you're down about four to five cents. The latest week we have full information on the week ending the 17th. We're actually a little bit worse than that. Ethanol falling off to about $2.27. DDGs declining some, about $14 to $20 over the last 2 weeks, down to $2.40 per ton. And even with a little bit softer corn prices at $6.85, which is the lowest it's been in on a weekly average since for September and so far in October, even with a little bit lower corn price, we're seeing a softening of profitability down to 14 cents under 14 cents under. I guess I'm so used to talk about basis, Todd, that it's hard to translate profitability in ethanol plants to per gallon, but minus 14 cents a gallon down. So, thought provoking. I don't doubt that we have variability amongst plants. Some operate more efficiently, have different cost structures. Some are utilizing corn oil, probably a lot of them now, more so than not, and that may be a factor that in our calculations that we may be underestimating that. So if you bring some of those factors in, there's a good proportion of plants that are probably breaking even to doing decently. And for the long-term sustainability of the ethanol industry and actually from the corn producer side, for the source of demand, for the demand center that ethanol is, it's an okay thing to see that they're breaking even during what can be pretty challenging economic times.
Ethanol tends to, I don't know whether it cycles, but it sometimes loses money. It sometimes makes money at the plant. Are there patterns that you can see within that as it relates to gasoline usage or other factors in the economy?
I would say that there have been times since, in essence, from 2019, from January 2019 on, we've had prolonged periods of time where ethanol production at the plant level has not been profitable. There have been times in the September of last year and the months around that where we had tremendous profits, up to $1, up to $50 to $1 a gallon. But in most cases, we're chugging along at 5 or 10 cents calculated loss. So it does make me. And in that, we haven't seen a sizable number of plants, a large number of plants close. We've tended to be pretty much a ongoing sustainable situation. So we probably need to go back and look at our full cost economic numbers. As you know from dealing with my economic brethren there at Illinois, University of Illinois, that if we're losing money in the short run, but we're still covering all our variable costs, we're losing money to equity. In essence, we're not replacing equipment, et cetera. So, I guess the specter or the situation of ongoing losses in ethanol plants over the last 1 or 2 years either indicates that we're not figuring our costs right, or that when those plants are operating, that they made large investments. They're covering marginal costs. They may not be getting enough money in to actually fully replace the equipment when it wears out. They're kind of like farmers, in a way, Todd. When we're not making money, we keep going, but we just don't buy new equipment. I guess as you bring that up, that's probably a question that I need to stare straight at in these calculations to see how we can have fairly long term, 1 or 2 years of losses in that industry, at least as calculated, and to figure out what's going on.
Because the plants generally have a lifespan, expected lifespan, I believe, if I remember correctly, when they were being built in 2005 to, I don't know, 2011, of about 20 years, they're moving through the end of that lifespan fairly quickly. And it'd be interesting to see how ethanol plants manage to update. And I'm also wondering, of all total capacity that is currently available, do we know how much of it is already owned by an oil company, for instance, Marathon, which owns Anderson Grain, or by Valero, or other places?
Those are the Valero especially is the one that comes to mind. When we look at the Renewable Fuels Association data, and thankfully they're very public in what they have. A person can go and see who at least the nameplate owners are of a company, and we see a lot of Poet and Green Plains, things like, you know, companies like that. So I don't know what that percentage is. What I wonder is, when these plants wear out, will we reinvest in that site, or will the technology have gone forward enough that we just tear down the old site and build newer, more efficient, bigger plants that maybe handle some of the byproducts or generate them all that much more readily. So I think you're right on in terms of your question. When we get to the end of the life cycle of these plants, will we reinvest in them and keep them going? Some no doubt will, probably a number of them will, but in some cases we'll just move on in a consolidated manner to larger, more efficient plants and go from there.
It'll be interesting to see how some of that plays out. On that note, a bipartisan group, Dan, of 13 U.S. senators asked EPA Administrator Michael Regan this week to set corn ethanol volumes above that 15 billion gallon level as part of the upcoming renewable fuel standard reset rule. They did that in a letter. In addition, those lawmakers asked Regan to take steps to restore year-round E15 sales. It would be a change to the RFS that has been in place. However, it does appear under the legislation that the EPA administrator does have the power to make those changes. Thank you, Dan, for taking the time, by the way, with us today.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
You too. That's Dan O'Brien. He's with Kansas State University Extension. Let's check in now with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Thanks for being here, Don. Can you tell me what the weather forecast looks like for the next week across the Corn Belt?
The weather across the Midwest will start off a little colder with the current system moving through the west right now, bringing some showers, some thunderstorms. We are going to see a fairly active pattern here as we go into the last week of October. Another system is going to go across mainly the southern areas of the United States this weekend. So the Midwest Corn Belt, the best chance of precipitation is going to be here in the short term, then a cooler, drier stretch of weather. Some moisture down in the southern delta areas, could see quite a bit down there. Then as we get into Sunday night and Monday, we do see some of that moisture in the south, bringing at least the eastern Corn Belt some chances for showers again. And then once we get beyond Halloween, we will be looking at the potential for some colder weather for parts of the northern and western United States, especially that first weekend of November. We could see a trend across a large part of the nation's midsection that will be quite a bit colder.
Sounds spooky.
Boo.
That's a Don Day. He's with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Helped us to wrap up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. Find us online, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org. There you'll also find a way to register for the upcoming Farm Assets Conference, or go to farmassetsconference.com. It's the 21st day of November. That's the Monday of Thanksgiving week. You won't want to miss it at the iHotel right here in Champaign, Illinois. The Farm Doc team, the crop scientist, and some industry specialists will be there. Details are at farmassetsconference.com, and a way to get yourself registered. Thank you.